Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Podcast, where you will hear the top medical news and most especially what it means for you, as well as great guests. This is segment 872B, the guest segment for today, and we have a spectacular guest, author of a wonderful book. Kiss the Ground is the name of the book, How the Food You Eat Can Reverse Climate Change, Heal Your Body, and Ultimately Save the World. It is on Amazon. It's published by Atria Books, a division of Simon Schuster. The author, Josh Tickle. Josh is a journalist, futurist, author. He is the award-winning film director whose movies, Fuel, The Big Fix, Pump, and Good Fortune have been shortlisted for Academy Awards, shown in the White House, won awards at the Sundance Film Festival, and have been viewed by over 50 million people worldwide. His first book, From the Fryer to the Fuel Tank, jump-started the biodiesel movement and raised billions of dollars for the algal fuel industry. We'll get back to that because it is an important point that we'll come to. But Josh, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Mike. This is very exciting.
Now, Josh, I'm going to go and follow a little bit about the book because I think it is, you develop it in such a unique and wonderful way. And you talk about the soil as the story of the rise and fall of civilization. Why do you think soil was so important in civilization?
That's a great question. Soil is really the foundation of civilization. So we think of civilizations being built around gold or being built around money or some economic or religious system. But when you strip away all of that and you look at what is the core asset of any group of human beings, it's their ability to procure and produce food. And the core asset of that core asset is soil. No soil, no food. Fertile soil, lots of food. Very simple. So when we strip away soil, we lose soil, we undermine the basis of society. And Arnold Toynbee, who wrote the opus, Civilization, the great historian, he said, you know, there's been 25 major civilizations that have come and gone. And all of them followed this similar path. And unfortunately, our civilization is on that same path right this minute.
Now, if you look at that, though, the Roman civilization died. It was thought, I thought it was relating to the debasement of coin or currency, like the United States is doing with its dollar right now, rather than soil. In other words, you would say, well, China or Japan is not going to rise to number one and displace us because we're very fortunate to have great soil and a great breadbasket in creating agriculture. Is that right, or are we ruining the agriculture and in that way is someplace else likely to take over as the lead country in civilization?
Well, the game of civilization is anybody's bet, who wins and who loses. When we look back, what we realize is all of these economic problems or systemic problems that we see in leadership in civilization, all of them are based on that civilization's ability to store and procure grain. So as grain stores go down, you also usually simultaneously see political problems, economic problems, you see social problems, you see other environmental problems. But it usually has to do with a society building itself up, extending its resources far away to get food, and those resources have to come to some kind of capital. And the further away from the capital those resources are gotten, the less interaction the capital has with the environment. So the less we understand what's happening out. You know, for instance, let's talk about everybody listening to this show. Take a moment and think about the last time you walked out onto a farm field somewhere in middle America and looked down at the ground. I bet you 99% of our listeners today have never walked out onto a farm field in middle America and looked down between the crops. So we're
we do have a lot of visitors, a lot of listeners on the coast. So that may be, I think 99% may be more, because a lot of people, well, probably have their own gardens now, and at least look down at the ground there. But you make a, let me come back to the point you made, but because you make a powerful point about Syria and the Syrian civil war being relating to a food famine and a change in the Fertile Crescent. So let me go and just say, this is food's ability to really alter the world, as you say. What happened in the Fertile Crescent, and why did it not stay fertile?
Well, if we look in historical records, geological records, what we see is this area, this Fertile Crescent, this area that encompasses today parts of Turkey, Iran, Iraq, this area where civilization was really born. Today we think of it as rocky, hard, dry, sandy, very, very hot. In past times, as in when man really developed agriculture, this was an area of fertility. It was green, it was lush, it was filled with, this is where the seven founder crops came from. Emmer wheat, kamut, you know, this is where the animals that we would use as herdsmen came from, the largely cattle and pigs. So a very fertile area over the course of time is now turned into one of the sort of climactic worst nightmares. How did that happen? It wasn't random. It wasn't nature. That was man's interaction with the land through agriculture.
And now, you talk about regenerative agriculture and the ability of us to restore the soil. With hydroponic growing, is the soil, you do make a point about the soil, but do we have alternative means, or do you think the soil is really it?
I think the soil is really it. That is not to say that we won't do hydroponics. It's not to say we won't have vertical farms. We won't have factory meat that's grown in laboratories. All of those things will happen, and they will happen at scale. But ultimately, the soil is the basis for human gut health. The soil is the basis for minerals in our food and for nutritional density. You can grow food with manufactured minerals, but it will never have the nutritional density that our bodies really need. It certainly won't have the kind of interactions with our gut bacteria that we need. So what is going to happen is we're going to continue on this factory calorie conveyor belt. More calories out of small amounts of space. And Kiss the Ground, the book kisstheground.com, for those who want more information, want to get a hold of the book, it's on Amazon, really shows us a different way of creating hypernutrient-dense soils and hypernutrient-dense foods that are good for our bodies.
Now, coming back to the if you will, the concept that soil is so key, you also talk about the earth breathing, or the planet breathing, I guess you call it, and with that breathing, there's a sense of hope for regenerative agriculture. Explain that to us.
Well, first of all, I want to acknowledge you for reading the book. You're asking questions that are really good.
I want you to know, Josh, one of my privileges in life is getting to read a book a week.
Wow.
Because I do this show. And so I try and read. I will very rarely go on without reading at least 60% of the book.
So fantastic.
This is a book that we should tell people, not only is it written in a compelling format of English, meaning you're driven to read it and it's exciting and fun to read, but it's also got a lot of science mixed in with the, if you will, political, and I don't mean political, but I mean in the way of how you develop the topic and how you show the rise and fall of nations. So it's really a very unique, from a person who's a scientist and who loves science and a person who loves great writing, this is the book to read. This is the book to give for Christmas, Kiss the Ground, or any holiday, if you will. Kiss the Ground, maybe give it for Valentine's Day too. Kiss the Ground by Josh Tickle. T-I-C-K-E-L-L. Go ahead. I apologize. I interrupted your answer.
You're always welcome to interrupt me for a book endorsement. That's great. The question you asked about respiration is such an important question. We tend to think of plants as these, you know, isolated islands. You know, this plant over here, it takes in sunlight, it takes in CO2, it transpires, it respires oxygen back to the atmosphere. But if we take a step back, we actually take a much more macro view, and we look at the measurement of carbon dioxide in our atmosphere, what we see is it goes up and down, up and down. It's an oscillating curve. It's not a line. And a lot of people think of, you know, oh, geez, we're putting all this CO2 in the atmosphere. It's just a line. It just goes up and up and up. No, it goes up and down and up and down. That measurement, that up and down.
So you're saying, wait, when you say it's not a straight line, in other words, we don't get continually more CO2. We have a periodicity that relates to the seasons.
Exactly.
More with Dr. Michael Roizen and the You, the Owner's Manual podcast coming up. Here's the deal. To truly thrive in all areas of your life, you cannot ignore the importance of good health. I've learned this firsthand, and for many of us, time is our most valuable asset. This is why I love Organifi Green Juice, an organic superfood green juice powder you just add water to get your greens anytime, anywhere without the mess. Plus, you can now enjoy Organifi Red Juice Powder too. When you invest in your health, you gain more time because you have more energy and focus to get through your day. The best thing about Organifi Green and Red Juice is that it actually tastes good. Try it for yourself. Use the code U, Y-O-U, at Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. Once again, use the code U, that's Y-O-U, to receive 20% off your order at Organifi.com. And You, the Owner's Manual podcast is brought to you by Memory Rescue, the brand new book that can help you with your memory. Let's hear from its author.
Hi, I'm Dr. Daniel Amen, author of a new book called Memory Rescue. Memory Rescue teaches you how to prevent future problems, but if you're having memory problems now, how to rescue it, how to get it back so that everything in your life can be better. Plant the habits that I talk in your life. I know it'll make a dramatic difference for you and for those you love.
It's important that you receive this information. Get your copy of Memory Rescue by Dr. Daniel Amen. Learn more at memoryrescuebook.com. That's memoryrescuebook.com. And now back to Dr. Michael Roizen and the You, the Owner's Manual podcast.
So the trend is more over time. But if you zoom into that line, what you will see is exactly as you said. It's a periodicity. It's an oscillation. And that oscillation is the cumulative effect of all plant life on this planet, breathing in CO2 and then letting that CO2 come out as the plants themselves degrade. So why is that interesting? Why is that important? Well, when you look at the oscillation of the curve, the amount of CO2 that plants, including microbes in the soil, pull in from the atmosphere is tremendous. It is enough each year to almost offset the entire CO2 that is getting put into the atmosphere. Almost. The problem is, over time, we're doing two things. We're obviously adding CO2 because we're burning fossil fuels, but we're degrading the land. We've lost one-third of the farmable land on planet Earth, one-third since 1980. 33% of the land on Earth.
But the people who feel on the other side of this would say, well, but we've learned how to get more yield, as you talk about, I can't remember the farmer's name at the end, other than Bismarck or Bust is the name of the chapter, but you have a farmer who said he's getting, whatever it is, 250 bushels of corn per acre as opposed to 50 in the old days.
We have absolutely learned how to squeeze more calories per acre, and it's been an incremental increase. Unfortunately, to get that incremental increase has required an exponential increase of chemical and synthetic nitrogen. And of course, those people who live in places like Des Moines, Iowa, those people who are experiencing nitrates in their water supply know that this can be toxic. We see the toxic zones in the Gulf of Mexico, the dead zones from all the nitrogen runoff. That's because plants can only absorb about 30% of that synthetic nitrogen. So it's a 70% ineffective product at this point. It becomes less effective as time goes on because the soil is degraded and degraded. About 60 to 70% of U.S. soil is badly degraded to the point where we call it desertified. So the big realization, the big civilization level event that we've got to deal with, we talk about this in Kiss the Ground, the book, kisstheground.com, is that we have to deal with these two factors. Disintegrating soils globally, one-third of soils we've lost between 1980 and today, and accelerating population growth. We've added 3 billion people, and we've reduced our ability to grow food by one-third. Those are not good scenarios.
But now, although I don't believe in this point of view, I want to take it for just a few minutes, and I want to make sure people understand. I'm arguing, if you will, from a point of view that I don't believe in, but I want to bring out your argument, and that's why I'm doing it. So the if you will, the people from large, if you will, agribusiness companies would say, yes, but we've been able to produce a lot more, and maybe we only need, we've degraded a third, but maybe we only need a fifth of the land to produce, as we learn how to do this better, a fifth of the land to produce three times as much food as we have now. And after all, we're producing more than we need now because obviously a lot of people are getting fat.
Right. And that's a critical, that whole argument is a critical argument to make and explore and dissect. The thing is, here's the bottom line. The soil is the basis for nutrition. It does not matter how much chemicals you put on a given acre of land. There is a law of diminishing returns, and every farmer will tell you this. It's called maximum yield, beyond which you're just pouring chemicals onto the land. You're not getting more yield. And what's happened is, as we've increased the GMO chemical trajectory, we're reaching maximum yield globally. So those meteoric rises that we thought were possible of calories per acre, they're leveling off, and they're leveling off, and they're leveling off. But what's not happening is the use of chemicals. The use of chemicals is growing, 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 growing. I was just in the middle of Oklahoma talking to farmers there. I said, how much Roundup, how much glyphosate did you use when you started using Roundup? Oh, I don't know, 6 ounces per acre. How much are you using now? 2 pounds per acre. So I go, okay, great. You started using 6 ounces. You're using 2 pounds now. What's your yield increase? Did your yield go up by 8x or 16x or 32x? No. The yield's gone up by maybe 10 or 20%. So the lie that we've gotten trapped in is that the trajectory of growth will go forever. And instead, the soil is imploding. Our ability to produce is imploding. And we've gotten farmers trapped in this idea that more chemicals will equal more calories when they know they've reached their maximum yield. It's done.
Now let's go and keep going on this tack a little more. One of the things you say is that the CO2 oscillates, to come back to this regenerative capacity, and the CO2 in plants take up the CO2 and put out oxygen, if you will, until they die. And then when they die, the plant has some carbon dioxide it creates, if you will, on death. So one of the solutions seems to me that we should just keep growing more plant land.
Absolutely. It is partially as simple as that, in that perennials, or plants that last multiple seasons, things like deciduous trees, large-scale vines, things of that nature, they can embody CO2. But when we look at where the CO2 sinks are, where is carbon stored? Where is carbon dioxide exchanged on the Earth? The largest carbon sinks are the oceans and the atmosphere. and the soils. And by far, the largest of those, the soils. And because we've degraded about half of our soils since the birth of agriculture some 10,000 years ago, our soils have about half of the CO2 absorbing capacity today than they should have. So the real thrust of Kiss the Ground, the nonprofit organization that inspired the book and the book itself, is to rebuild our soils globally, because soils have the greatest potential to absorb CO2, they have the greatest potential to hold water, and they have the greatest potential to cool the climate and ameliorate these huge storms, these huge droughts that we're seeing.
Now, one of the things that you didn't mention in that talk about Kiss the Ground is, as I understand it, a fair bit of, I think 50% of the proceeds from the book is going to this nonprofit foundation called Kiss the Ground.
That is correct. Friends of mine co-founded that organization. I got inspired by them, by their work. The more I learned about it, the more I got enticed to sort of make this film with my co-directing partner, my wife Rebecca, Kiss the Ground. It's a documentary, major documentary film coming out next year. In the process, the book kind of evolved, and I said, my gosh, there's so much great information. We've got to put a book together. So 50% of the proceeds of your purchase of Kiss the Ground, the book, will go towards restoring soils worldwide. And it's a great book because the last part of the book, the last whole section of the book, tells you all about dietary choices. It's a how-to manual for repairing your diet in a way that's going to repair your body and repair the soil. And that's a very powerful thing.
I'm curious as to why you said in that section, start with lunch.
It's funny. Lunch is, that's an interesting point. Lunch is the one meal that most Americans make an independent choice about. So consider breakfast is often a family affair. Whatever's happening at breakfast is generally this, you know, hurried thing between waking up and getting to work or going to school. Dinner, most Americans eat now most of their meals at dinner time are coming from a restaurant, even a fast food restaurant. Even the food that we eat at home largely is coming from restaurants. So for many of us, lunch is the one meal where we actually have a little leeway, we have a little time, we have a little independence, and we can actually make a choice that's going to make a big difference for our body and the environment. So that's a good thing you picked that out. One of the recommendations is start your regenerative diet revolution with making some choices around lunch.
Well, one of the reasons I picked that out is because when you look at the chronobiology of eating, we should be eating our biggest meals at breakfast, our second biggest at lunch, and our smallest at dinner. We don't do that by a society, but that's really how, if you will, the way our bodies developed over millennia, if you will, over 10,000 or whatever number of years, is so that we eat more in the morning and less in the evening, and basically eat during sunlight. But that's another story. Let's go. One of the things that I am so intrigued by is what if you look at the political scene and consider where in the world, if you will, agriculture is key and the soil is key. I guess you pointed out how important it is in France, but what does it say about the biggest countries from a defensor or spreading their might standpoint, India, China, Russia, Japan and the United States? What's the future of these countries? What country is protecting their soil most now, and where is it changing for the better most?
I think India and China, honestly, are going to leapfrog the United States. I think we're going to be left in the dust, and I mean that metaphorically as well as physically. And here's why: we pay farmers to go out of business in the United States. Our farming economy is completely broken. And it's a result of a bad, bad, bad government policy. You and I, as taxpayers, Dr. Mike, we're spending $25 billion a year to literally pay farmers to go out of business. The average farmer in the United States makes $2 an acre. They need to make $20 to stay in business. So we're subsidizing the other 18, about $1 million a farm a year. That's what we pay them. Now, if you look at the rate of farmers going out of business, it's abysmal. Many, many, many every day going out of business. Meanwhile, farm debt is going up. So farm income's going down, farm debt is going up, farmers are going out of business, and the soil is degrading. Let's switch it to the regenerative model. In the regenerative model, the farm...
Before you switch it, talk to me about why, what's happening differently in India and China. When I visited, it's got a lot of coal-fired power. It is really smoggy.
Really,
India is the same way at times when I visited it. France in the periphery seems to have clean air. But tell me what if why you think India and China are going to leapfrog us from a ground from a soil standpoint.
From a soil standpoint, and there's an energy conversation to have as well. It's related but different conversation. But from a soil standpoint, what we are seeing is basic education is the power to regenerate the soil. So if you're a farmer and you're farming 10, 20, 100, 200, 2,000 acres, the technology doesn't change to regenerate the soil. What is the technology? It's using a mixture of seeds in your cover crop and making sure the soil is always cover cropped between harvests. It's not tilling or plowing the soil, using a machine called a no-till drill, which is sold by John Deere just the same as a plow. And it's using natural amendments to the soil, so compost, manure, nitrogen-fixing crops, as opposed to using synthetics. Those three principles done together actually regenerates and builds soil. Once you have the microbial life going, they build soil.
And we should say there's really a how-to in the book as well on this.
The book is a how-to, exactly.
Keep going. I do want you to get to the issue. I just wanted to make sure people knew how good the book was.
Thank you. Kiss the Ground is the name of the book, kisstheground.com. And I think the reason China and India are going to supplant us in this regard is because they are looking at economics, whereas we are bastardizing economics. We are subsidizing farmers, paying them to grow the wrong crops, which are fed to animals and feedlots, which are sick, and then we eat those sick animals. And then we become sick. We become obese. We become lethargic. We have all of these knock-on symptoms. So we've got a sick system, and we're putting a lot of money into keeping that system going. When we look at regenerative agriculture, and we look at the farms that we've studied, they are not negative. In fact, they're in the positive. The farm that I mentioned in the book, Gabe Brown in Bismarck, North Dakota, he's making $100 an acre on a 5,000-acre farm per year. That's $500K. So we've got a bunch of farmers losing money, 99%, but we've got a few farmers making a tremendous amount of money who are following these principles. Which category do you want to be in? That's why I think India and China are going to leap ahead, because the governments are not vested in the chemical-industrial agriculture complex, which we know makes soil sick, it makes people sick, and it negatively affects the climate.
To learn more about this, you're going to actually have to get the book or go to the website, kisstheground.com, or watch the documentary. Obviously, Josh Tickle is a great writer, a passionate about this, but he really is also a great filmmaker. So Kiss the Ground will be coming out soon. But in the meantime, this is a sensational book. Do grab it. Do give it as a gift. It's a wonderful gift for the holidays. It's a wonderful gift for Valentine's Day. It's probably even a better gift on Earth Day. But don't wait till then to give it, because it's too much fun to read this. Josh, thank you very much. Name is Josh Tickle, T-I-C-K-E-L-L, Kiss the Ground. And you're listening to You, the Owner's Manual podcast. This is podcast 872B, the guest segment for today. Randall, thanks for great engineering. Josh, I can't thank you enough for writing a sensational book, but also being a terrific guest. Thank you again.
Thank you.